Joseph and Sister Bonnie bringing the young people from the Cayman Islands. I know that's a big undertaking. We've taken some youth trips before, and I know we took one. I think our first big trip was we took some young people to Mississippi, and we know all those things that were involved for that trip. And so we appreciate them doing that. And we appreciate their burden that they have for the young people. And so we're going to, I know Sister Bonnie has some thoughts, maybe Brother Joseph does too. But anyway.
Moral support.
He's moral support. And that's good. We need our husbands and our wives to be our moral support. So we're going to ask them to come. And I know Sister Bonnie had some thoughts on her heart. So as they come, let's pray for them. All right? Amen.
Amen. All right, so everybody, this is my wife. But me and Bonnie decided that we would just do a little icebreaker again. It's popular hit the last two times. So question and answer from the Cayman Islands, round three. Okay, is there any? Let me just start again how I start every time. This is, for some people, this is the first time that, this is the first time, and probably one of the only times they might talk to someone from the Caribbean. So, if you have any questions you want to ask, now is the time. Anybody have any questions? Yes. Yes, you can.
Stingrays as well.
There are multiple places that you can swim with sharks that are used to human interaction. There are some other parts where you can swim with sharks that are not used to human interaction. There are more of those than the other ones. So, yeah, you can also swim with stingrays.
Turtles.
Well, I don't know about swimming with turtles, but you can try, I guess, if you want. Anything else? Any other questions? Yeah, what's up?
How big is the island?
The island is shaped like a shoe that is 76 square miles. So it's like West Bay, Georgetown.
No.
Not quite so bad. It don't even look that bad.
God didn't call me to be an artist. And I own that proudly. So that's a basic, very basic representation. And then I think, as a matter of fact, that's when the Grand Cayman, and over here they're
wrong way.
No. So over here, guys. All right, but he's right. But I mean, for logical purposes, I can't write on the wall. But yeah, there's Cayman Brac and Little Cayman.
I was gonna say, welcome to being youth leaders. They keep you humble.
That's one thing. Grayshawn definitely keeps us humble. Yes. He's the guy that knows
Facts
everything.
Guy.
Yes, and that's not a slight at him. That he literally does most of the time. Ask Grayshawn. He should be up here next time. Hey, that's a good idea. So, any other questions? Yeah.
Is anybody on the island play steel drums?
Yeah, a lot of people do. It used to be a lot more popular, honestly, but since everything has become a lot more American, and I don't say that like that, but it's just like, it seems like a lot of people are getting into other instruments rather than the traditional Caribbean steel drums. But yeah.
There are a lot of places. All the schools play steel drums. Sorry. Most of the school plays steel drums.
The public school plays steel drums.
Well,
I think, yeah. I'm pretty sure. No one else does. Yeah.
What do you see in the Cayman Islands?
Can I
bamboo shoots? Thatchley?
No.
Regular food. We have Burger King, we have Wendy's.
Oh my God.
Okay, so okay, so our biggest thing is rice and beans and fried ripe plantains. And I was telling
in coconut oil.
That's the best way to have them. There's also breadfruit. That's kind of like a very starchy vegetable.
You cook it just like potatoes.
Yes, you boil it. You can fry it. You can bake it. Tastes delicious. We eat a lot of fish. We eat turtle. We eat conch.
Sea turtles.
And we can eat it because it's a part of our culture. So
you can eat it too if you come down.
If you come down, but you can't take it away. You can't take it with you.
You can't export it. Because it's technically endangered.
Yeah.
But we have a farm there because it's endangered.
Yeah. We have
kill it and harvest it. To regulate the numbers because it's endangered.
Yeah, but we eat food, a lot of food like you guys do. I said conch. We love fried chicken.
We have oxtail.
Oxtail is delicious. Absolutely delicious.
And cow foot.
Yes, we do have cow foot as well.
And chicken foot soup.
Yes.
I'm not joking.
All of these things are very true.
Oh, we're not going to get into that. We don't eat that. That's other ethnicities. Do we eat oysters? We are able to, but earlier to what I alluded to was everything's becoming very Americanized because America is the biggest influence on our economy. And so we have a lot of restaurants down there that serve American style food.
I see you.
American style food and that kind of stuff. So
We have a lot of variety.
If you came down there, you would not have to eat cow foot and chicken foot soup.
Yes.
You would find things to eat. But I've got a Decker. I mean, he's been down there quite a few times. He always gets his chili and stuff from Wendy's after the service. I mean, it's very Americanized, really and truly. I actually went to American school. He, Jayshon, and Deanna. Yeah, went to an American school, so.
And Shoshana, sorry.
What are some of your catchphrases?
I feel like some other people from this group could do that better than me.
A lot better than me.
But I'm afraid. Maybe I'll try it.
Yes.
Patrick, come on. Her name is Patrice. Alright,
Where are you going? Who are you for? Do you want me to
try? Okay, yeah.
Okay. So instead of saying, oh, who's your mom and dad? You would say
which is an important thing.
Which is very crucial. Yes.
Very important.
You would say, who you for? Who are you for? In other words, instead of saying, where are you going? Where are you going? So we leave out different little simple words like important, super important words like is. We tend to leave that out. We tend to leave out the word the. We tend to leave out what other words?
She doesn't.
This we leave out
she
the word.
She talks proper all the time.
All the time. We pronounce this with a D. Yes, and affectionately. So if you're talking to your friend who's a guy and you'd be like, hey bro, we'd be like, hey Bobo. Or hey brother.
Hey, bobo.
If you're talking to a lady, you say TD, where you going? But the old TD, where you going? Did I miss out any important one?
Brother.
It's not in any way offensive. And you say, well, this girl likes ice cream. this gel like ice cream. So we.
That's not really funny. You don't talk.
I don't talk. I know they don't really talk like that. I really don't.
Yeah, that's how they talk.
Yeah. A lot of times if I have. If I were to speak how we usually speak home, I'm sure you guys probably wouldn't be able to understand me. Yeah, so there's that. But it's our way of life. Any other questions? One more. Okay, so let me just put it into perspective for you. $1 CI is $1.25 US. Our price of gas is currently about $5.50.
CI.
So that's about almost seven.
Three times what yours is.
Almost $7 US.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, a little over $7 US. That's what we pay for gas. Food is expensive because everything is imported. About 97% of what we consume is imported. So all our meats, all our vegetables, canned goods, everything. All of that stuff is imported. So cost of living is extremely high. A one bedroom apartment in the Cayman Islands, depends on the cheapest area, would be probably in the eastern districts, and you would probably pay about $700 for it.
Not including utilities,
nor
which
internet.
Is, which is a lot.
So, yeah, it's pretty high. Yes, ma'am, you have a question?
My friend told me they want to do pickup nights.
We're about to not talk about those.
We prefer to refer him to Jesus.
Yes.
No, but yeah, it is. So, I'll leave. Sister Bonnie,
you're
not
gonna
I was not going to
okay,
stay. You need me to stay?
I think I'll be okay.
I think you will be too. All right.
Okay.
It's good seeing talking to you guys.
So, yes. All right. I am in no way a speaker. I am in no way a person that's very articulate. But God had laid a message on my heart, and I was like, you know, God, I'll bring it if you let someone ask, because I absolutely did not want to speak. But you know, God always has a way of working things out, and especially when he lays something on your heart, he just makes the way clear. I mean, last year when we left, when Brother Joseph and I left camp meeting last year, I just left with a burden, and I get super emotional every time I think about it, but I just wanted to come back and to bring our young people so that they'll meet so many of you wonderful young people, and just to see that it's possible to be a Christian and to be not 35. But I'm actually really young. I got saved when I was 18 years old. That story is not a very extravagant story, but it's simple and it's nice and it's sweet, just like me. So, every time I think about how I got saved and what God had done for me and everything, I always think about I also speak Spanish, so a lot of times I confuse my syllables and I jumble up my words, so please forgive me. But I always think about an escape route or an exit. When you're traveling on a boat, when you're traveling on an airplane, even sitting in this building, we have emergency situations. If there was to ever be an emergency situation, there's a way that we're supposed to exit. There's a way that we're supposed to leave. There's a way, there are things that we're supposed to do to ensure that we remain safe. So, throughout my life, God has shown me different escape routes. He has shown me different exits. He has just been real throughout my life. I was born in Honduras. I don't know if any of you have heard of anything of Honduras, but that's where Pastor Brooks was from. And I've always lived on an island. I don't live on the huge part of Honduras. I actually live on one of the islands. I am dark skinned because most of the island people are dark skinned. I grew up speaking two languages, so I speak English fluently and I also speak Spanish fluently. And all throughout my life, I've always been just ordinary. I've never been involved in sports. I've always been smart enough to not put in the work, which I do regret a lot of times. But in every area of my life, I can remember just God providing a little exit for me. And the thing that always got me, I was absolutely miserable being in sin. I basically grew up in church. My mom has been a Christian as long as I can remember. So back home we had service 5 nights for the week. So only Wednesday nights and Friday nights, which we had youth service. So basically only one night I didn't go to church. But every single night I was in church. Every single night I heard the messages, heard the songs, felt conviction, but I was just comfortable in sin, but yet I was miserable in sin as well. And I had gotten saved before when I was 14, but at that time it was a very, we all remember how it's like being 14, and at that time it's you're at a point where you want to be grown and you want to do your own thing and you want to make friends and you want to impress friends. So I was just like, you know, I got saved this Sunday and then I told my friends, I went back to school. This is in Cayman now. I moved to Cayman when I was 10 years old, I think. So 14, I'm in middle school and I told my friends, hey, I'm saved. And they're just like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you know, God has saved me and I'm ready to live for him. And that lasted for about 2 days. And then I was like, you know what? It's just me. I'm not putting myself through that. I love my friends. I don't want to lose my friends. And friends were just a very crucial part of my life. I had about 4 different friend groups. Of course I had my Spanish friends, and then I had my TV show friends, and then I had my other friends, and then I had my other friends. And I was a very you never found me in the same place at the same time, obviously, but throughout my day I would always jump around to my different friend groups because that was comfortable for me. And I was in sin. And I was making a mess out of my life. I was making an absolute mess out of my life. I had so many things going on that I kind of lost control of what was going on. I just went with the flow up until God saved me. And I remember it. I remember the night clearly. My mom, she does this fast for her children at the beginning of the year, and she had been fasting for me that year. And it was she breaks her fast on the 15th of January at 12:00 a.m. And we were having a revival in the Westbury congregation, and the altar songs always got me. The messages not so much, but songs are how God speaks to me. And number 504 in the Evening Light book, I think that's I Surrender All. And I just felt it heavy on my heart, and I was just like, you know, God, I can't deal with this anymore. I can't deal with all the lies, and I can't deal with all the mess, and I can't deal with the people anymore. And I'm just like, you know, I'm just so tired of it all. And that night I decided, you know what, it doesn't matter what anyone else says, it doesn't matter what I think, I'm gonna get my life right. And I'm not gonna tell you that it's been easy, but God has proved faithful to me in so many areas of my life. He's been faithful to me so many times, and he has provided a way of escape for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 12 and 13 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Therefore hath no temptation taken you, but as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." I've always known this scripture. And in my earlier years of being a Christian, in the first 3 years of being a Christian, I was just comfortable. I was going to service, I was enjoying service, but I wasn't doing anything for God. And the devil was constantly just bringing temptation after temptation and letting me feel hurt and wanting me to regret being saved. And he was just bombarding me with all these temptations. But 2 years ago, I claimed that scripture for myself. I always, no matter what the situation, I always try to find some way to escape negative situations, that is. I always try to find some way to escape. And God, when I ask for it, he presents it. And when I look for it, I see it. But let's imagine this situation. You're on an airplane. I don't know how many of you have ever flown an airplane, but we have, obviously, to get here. And the air hostess, she goes through this list of things that you have to do. You have to make sure your seatbelts are buckled, and then she goes and says, well, emergency mask, if they fall, help yourself first, and then help the next person. And she goes through all these different things that you're supposed to do in preparation for the potential exit that you will have to make from the aircraft. And similarly, God has given us such wonderful preachers, such wonderful messages, the Bible, just things to help us realize, to teach us, to guide us, to show us what we have to do to prepare ourselves to make that exit from this life. And it's just, you won't exit safely if you don't follow those instructions. If you go and you help somebody that's sitting beside you struggling to put on their gas mask first, their oxygen mask first, and you don't have yours on, you're gonna probably pass out before you get theirs on, and then you both will probably die. And for me, God has, every time he gives a message to me, I always have to make sure I taste it first.
Right.
Because if I don't taste it, it's worth nothing. And he's made me so uncomfortable. And he's done so many things, but he always makes sure that he puts things there so I can get myself checked, so I can get myself right before I speak to anyone else. And so many times, you know, no chastisement at the time seemed joyful, but after you look back and you're just like, wow, I really needed that. And so many times throughout my Christian walk, I've realized that, you know, I wanted to pout and I just wanted to throw up my hands and said, you know, that's it. But God was just like, you know, just hold on, just, I'm not done yet. And it's just such a beautiful feeling to know where God has taken me from and where I am now. If I could remain a child, if I could not grow up anymore, I would be perfect. But that's not how life works, I know. But God has been so faithful to me. And this is what I tell my young people all the time. And I asked them, and I said, I see, you know, why should God give you what you want if you're not giving him what he wants? You know, God wants our lives. He wants us. He wants to make us beautiful. He wants to use us, and he just wants us to achieve our full potential, our full happiness. He just wants us to live life abundantly. But so many times we get stuck in our own little shells, and we're just like, you know, I'm good how I am. I like how I am. But if you're comfortable, if you are comfortable tonight, I would challenge you to make yourself uncomfortable for God. And that's something I still haven't fully come to terms with. I was sitting back there anxiously waiting, and I was shaking, and I just felt this wave of emotions, but I just said, you know, Lord, I said, just give me peace. And he gave me peace, and I'm able to stand here now, and it's just like, you know, God is so amazing. But even in every situation, God gives us special instructions, and we have to choose if we want to follow those instructions. We have to choose if we want to take this exit, or if we want to go all the way around the highway and then come back and take the exit that we were supposed to take in the first place. And God always has a way of rerouting us. We don't use GPS back in the Cayman Islands, but I've had to rely on it very heavily here. And you know, if you miss an exit, it's just like, you know, well, don't worry, because you'll be able to come back to that point. But so many times we take God for granted. That first message, and it just hit home. Because as young people, we take God for granted. We believe that, you know, he's going to always be there for us no matter what, although he will. But still, we never know when God's mercies will run out. We never know when God's mercies will run out. And that's why we always have to be in the position where God can speak to us, where God can reach us. And we have to have the mindset that, you know, when God does bring that message to us, and when he is telling us to escape, and when he is telling us to leave, when he is telling us to forsake our sins and to turn to him, we have to be in that position where we're willing to listen to him. Because if you're not, then what are you doing with your life? I mean, it's like, I love cooking. I rarely use instructions. And sometimes my food tastes really, really nice. But other times it's just like, what is this? But, you know, a lot of times when we're in sin, we get to the point where, okay, we're okay right now, you know. I'm not sad, I'm not depressed, I don't want to kill myself, I'm okay right now. But really, you're not, because if you're not living for heaven, you're not okay. You're not doing good. You are on your way to hell. If you're not living for heaven, you're on your way to hell. And that thought just scares me. And I look at our young people and I say, you know, if I could take each and every one of them, if I could just grab them by the hand and take them up to the altar and get saved for them, I would. I would make 50 trips if I had to. I know it doesn't work like that. I know it doesn't work like that. And that's why I'm so willing to let I try to be willing to let God use me. Because I say, you know, if I'm the only person that they see God in, then how am I showing God, you know? But my one true desire, apart from making it to heaven, is to carry this little bunch of young people with me. And to let them experience just the joy of salvation. I was, like I said, I was never a very extravagant person. I was always very simple, but I was still a sinner. And being comfortable in sin, that was a thing for me. But I'm so thankful for God that He has made a way for me to escape. And even in every temptation, He still makes that way. So I would like to challenge you all tonight to look for your escape route. Look for an escape hatch. Try to find the exit, because we don't know when this plane is going to crash.